Welcome to the Deep Dive. This week, we're really getting into the weeds on the digital landscape. It's
Yeah.
evolving so fast.
It really is.
We're bringing you some critical insights, the latest cyber threats, everything from these huge global scams right down to the code, the very software we all use.
Exactly. And our mission here really is to pull out the key bits of info for you, connect those dots so you get not just what's going on, but, well, why it actually matters to you day to
All
day.
right, how it impacts your digital life.
Yeah. And we've got some, frankly, unsettling stuff today. It shows how cybercrime is getting way more complex, way more global.
It's the scale, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how they mix the tech with like actual human exploitation. It's
Yeah.
something
It
else.
really is something we need to unpack.
Okay, so let's start there. These massive cyber scams, the human cost. We're talking US sanctions on these huge operations, Southeast Asia, right? Burma, Cambodia, pulling in over $10 billion from Americans last year alone. That number's just staggering. But it's not just money, is it?
No, not at all. It's way, way darker than that. These aren't just, hackers in basements somewhere.
Right.
These operations, they involve forced labor, actual human trafficking, physical violence even. And while doing that, they're running these super sophisticated scams. You've heard of romance baiting.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That and fake crypto investments, it's grim. And they're targeting specific figures now, like Shizi Yang, allegedly behind the Yatai New City scam compound.
Wow. So the sanctions are hitting named individuals too.
Directly, it shows this chilling link, right, between the high-tech fraud and basically modern slavery, how these global networks use tech and human misery.
It really makes you think how tangled our digital world is with these, well, humanitarian crises. Okay, so shifting gears a bit from that human element, let's talk about the code itself. Supply chain attacks, they feel stealthier somehow.
Definitely selfish.
The target isn't just one person, it's the software millions rely on. What does a supply chain attack even mean for someone just, downloading an app?
Well, it's insidious, like you said, because you, the end user, you might have no clue your software's compromised.
You trust the source.
Exactly. Take that recent NPM package issue. Someone got phished, right? And malware got injected into these packages. Packages downloaded 2.6 billion times.
Weekly.
Billion with a B weekly.
And the malware, designed to just snatch cryptocurrency transactions right there in your browser.
Wow.
And then there was another one, Ghost Action on GitHub,
Oh.
that stole thousands of think AWS keys, PyPI tokens, stuff developers use.
Okay, so developers' credentials, basically.
Yeah, from over 800 repositories. And the key thing here is by hitting that foundational piece, that package, that workflow.
They get access to everything built on top.
Precisely. It's like poisoning the well instead of just one glass of water.
So even if you're careful with your security using trusted software,
Yeah.
you could still be at risk because the foundation itself was hit. That's the danger. It really speaks to these evolving attack vectors, doesn't it? And why the big players have to constantly respond. It feels like this endless race.
Absolutely. Microsoft,
Yeah.
SAP, they're always patching.
Constantly. Look at Microsoft's September patch Tuesday. Fixed 81 flaws, and two of those were 0 days, actively exploited.
Meaning hackers were already using them.
Right. One let attackers elevate privileges on Windows SMB using relay attacks, basically tricking systems into granting higher access. Another was a denial of service for SQL Server.
So knocking servers offline.
Could be. And SAP had critical NetWeaver bugs too. Some allowed remote command execution. That's really bad, getting control without even logging in.
Oof.
Yeah. What this shows is even the biggest systems, they have weak spots. It needs constant vigilance, not just patching after the fact. And we're seeing new tricks too, like botnets using Docker APIs hiding behind Tor for anonymity.
Always finding new ways to hide.
Or, get this, VirusTotal used AI to find malware hidden inside SVG image files. Really clever phishing campaigns.
Inside image files. Okay, that's sneaky. It is a constant cat and mouse game then,
Yeah.
from network protocols down to image files. But okay, it's not all doom and gloom,
Right.
right? Law enforcement is fighting back, making arrests. Is that having a real impact?
It has to. Taking operators off the board disrupts things. We saw Liridon Mazurica from Kosovo pleaded guilty. He ran the BlackDB marketplace.
One in that cell.
Stolen credit cards, personal info, PII, the usual dark market stuff. And then separately, Volodymyr Timoshchik, a Ukrainian national, charged with running major ransomware groups.
Which ones?
Locker Goga, Mega Cortex, Nephilim, you might recognize those names, caused millions in damages, hit hundreds of companies.
Wow, so these arrests, they show international cooperation can actually work.
It can. It shows that even hiding online, you're not totally untouchable. It definitely puts a dent in their operations, even if others pop up. So, wrapping this all up, what's the big takeaway for you listening? I think it's pretty clear. The digital threat landscape, it's got many faces, it's getting smarter, and it never stops changing. Being vigilant, always learning, having solid digital defenses, that's not just for the IT folks anymore. It's really essential for everyone, for all of us living online.
Absolutely. And here's something to chew on. As our lives get more and more digital, banking, social connections, everything, how is that everyday trust we place to these systems going to be tested, maybe exploited in ways we haven't even thought of yet?
Yeah.
What steps will you take to stay ahead of whatever's coming next?